Welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And I'm designer Dave Say.
And welcome on this beautiful Monday, November 18th. It is a beautiful, like, 68 degrees outside. Sunny, lovely, amazing. Do you ever see the weather updates that David Lynch used to do from his website?
Yes, yes.
He used to log on to davidlynch.com, and like at a certain time every day, he would log on, and it would be a shot if it was like a webcam, and he was sitting in a basement. And he had this window that was like, you only saw part of the window because it was like a basement level thing. Yeah. And he'd be like, today is Tuesday. And then he seemed like, look out the window. He's like, it's sunny. He's like, a little balmy. And then he'd be like, sunny and a little balmy. Thank you. And that would be it. That was his weather update. Love David Lynch.
What was the deal with these, those that line of clothing that's come out from
the Twin Peaks thing? Did you see that?
I did see that, but I did not understand it.
It's a new line of clothing that's just influenced from Twin Peaks
stuff that the actors.
It's amazeballs. No, it's just like there was one, and it was, I forgot what it was called, Smoking in the Boys Room or something like that. And it's just it's like a plaid skirt, and then there's this shawl thing with this weird sort of line, like it almost looks like a heartbeat line, you know, like on a monitor or something like that.
Yeah,
and it turns out that line is the paint decoration or whatever that you see in the high school that Audrey Horne goes to in the Twin Peaks series. So they lifted that one little design element and they turned it into a shirt. And then they have this other one that's like this really tight dress, and it has this sort of like puffy thing that wraps around the head, and that's based off of finding Laura Palmer wrapped in plastic at the beginning.
Oh.
It's genius. And there's only like four pieces of clothing, and then they have like tights. They have like log lady tights that look like a log pattern.
So they're kind of conceptual interpretations,
yes,
of themes, and it's not stuff they actually, yep, wore. So
no, it's, no, like, it's just, it's influenced. Or, yeah, they have a beautiful like one-piece gown that evidently it has elements of the design from the restaurant where Cooper would go to get his coffee and his pie. Like there's this certain little design element that they took from the menu or something, and it's like just, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Oh.
I, for one, welcome our Twin Peaks designer overlords.
Well, I guess it could be worse. It could be like Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
Exactly.
The Wilma Deering line or something. Like, everyone's like coated in silver catsuit material.
We wouldn't want that. Hello, I'd like a nice Twinkie it. Outfit. Bit. Look at my dress,
terrible.
Buck.
That would be terrible. So like, I see our guests fidgeting in the corner. So she's dying to say something. So
talk.
We're happy to have a guest, the first guest of 2013. Now that it's almost over, but
the only guest of 2013.
The only guest. Well, I don't know. Maybe after this, we'll like surge in popularity. Actually, get rated on iTunes.
Yep.
So Sid, who is our guest?
So we have a friend and self-published author Teresa Santosky.
Yay!
I met Teresa.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I met Teresa back in 2008. She came to the studios a long time ago. She came to the studio to do an article on Sarah and I about couples that are involved in the arts. And we have it framed.
Okay.
And it's in the hallway. Before you come in the studio, you can read it.
I thought that was the cutest article. And I had no idea you wrote
you.
It.
Thank you.
That was the first time that we met.
And I think it's been since 2008 that we've been talking about doing author headshots,
yes,
and putting together a website.
We seem to meet like once a year at Bonhoeffer's for coffee and talk about like getting her existence on the web and that kind of stuff.
Turned into a tradition somehow.
Yeah. And you've done other, I think you did other articles. I think there was another, did you come here another time for something?
I believe so.
Must have.
I've talked to a couple artists in the Picker Building over the years,
yeah,
and I've done features on Art Walk and things like that as well.
Yep, that was what it was. That was what it was. So she was previously, she used to work for the National Telegraph, and she did a bunch of articles there. And now she's no longer, you're no longer with the Telegraph.
That is correct.
But you have broken out on your own, and you are paving your own path, and you are writing your own books now, and you're getting them made and published, and a new one just came out, and like the big launch is going to be soon.
Yep. The book is called Prayers for Oppa, and it's a Christian devotional for performers and their fans, with a focus on the East Asian entertainment industry.
Wow. So like Japanese pop.
Yep.
Korean pop.
Japanese pop music, Korean pop music, Chinese pop music, basically the whole of East Asian pop culture.
Wow.
So what is a devotional exactly?
Well, a devotional is basically a fancy word for a prayer book.
Okay.
The way Prayers for Oppa is structured is that I have 20 different topics that are of particular interest to performers. Topics like loneliness, performance safety, good health, love, image, fan service. These are all issues that performers have mentioned dealing with in interviews or on social media. So for each topic, you have an introduction that sets the topic in a biblical context.
Okay.
So you have a brief discussion of loneliness and some Bible verses that apply to it and a biblical explanation of the topic. And then you have a prayer that the performer can pray about loneliness, a prayer that fans can pray for the performer about loneliness, and then supporting Bible verses for each prayer. So it's really designed to give performers and fans a more meaningful connection with each other and with God.
So is it the kind of thing that you read like one a day? Is there a program associated with, or do you flip through it like if you're feeling bad? I guess I'm asking if there's a methodology that's behind it.
It's on a case-by-case basis. Like, these days you have a lot of performers who are on social media, and it's very easy for fans to keep up with what's going on in their lives or what their activities are professionally. So say you're on Twitter and a performer you follow says, you know, oh, we have a concert tonight. It's going to be a really long day for us. So you can go to Prayers for Oppa and you can pray the fatigue prayer. You can pray performance safety and just kind of cover that performer in prayer before they even get to their work activities.
Huh. Is there a particular entry that might apply to Sid and I?
Well, let me take a look at my table of contents here.
Stop eating sweets.
Something on their health, perhaps? Energy?
Self-encouragement?
See. Well, I have good health, healing, safe travel, difficulty getting work, which I think applies to all of us creative types at one point or another.
Hello.
Yep. Is there one for having too much work?
I believe that would be fatigue.
Yes. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So it really is something that even though the focus is on the East Asian entertainment industry, because that's my personal area of interest, the themes are universal enough that, you know, you could use this book to pray for Miley Cyrus or for Justin Bieber, or you could use it as a personal resource if you need some spiritual encouragement.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's pronounced Oppa? Oppa?
Oppa.
Oppa. Is it, what language is that?
Oppa is a Korean word, and it's a term that younger women will use for an older male who has a close relationship with them, like an older brother or a boyfriend. And a lot of female fans will refer to their favorite K-pop performer as Oppa.
Oh.
So, Prayers for Oppa, It had a nice ring to it, which is why I chose that for the title. Mm-hmm. But it's for everybody, you know, for it. If you have older female performers that you want to pray for, younger female performers, younger male performers from any culture, basically.
So what inspired you to write this book?
Well, I guess you could say I had a little bit of time on my hands. I was laid off from my position as a arts and entertainment reporter at the Telegraph back in April. And I've always wanted to do something. You know, I've just enjoyed East Asian pop culture so much over the years. I really wanted to do something meaningful for the performers who have brought me so much enjoyment over the years. And, you know, since I had some time to do that, it seemed like putting together a book like this would be the best thing that I could do.
Are you do you consider yourself an ambitious person?
I would not say ambitious in the traditional sense of the word, but very persistent. When I have an idea for a project and I know that it's something meaningful and something I should be working on, I will just continue to work on it until it sees fruition.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
I take a lot of naps.
Well, when you're no longer working full time, it really changes how your schedule works. So I spend, you know, my day applying for jobs, looking for jobs, and then it gets to the evening, and it's like, okay, well, now I have time to write. And then it would be, okay, well, I've written for a few hours. Well, I still have some time, so I might as well keep going. So because of that, the persistent mindset and the time I had available, it took a little less than 3 months to write the book.
Wow.
That seems really fast.
It actually took less time to write the book than for the book to be laid out and designed and published.
Ready,
Yeah.
So what's the process like on that? Like, what? So you've got something that you've finished up.
Yeah.
And what, Brett? Like, who are you using for the publication? What brought you? Like, what do you like? If somebody's interested in writing something and is this like what we call self-publishing?
Yes. Because this topic, you know, a devotional for East Asian performers in the East Asian entertainment industry and their fans, mm-hmm. it's not something that a traditional publisher might understand the appeal of right away.
Yep.
But, you know, East Asian pop culture has really spread throughout the world over the past 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and the time is ripe for something like this. So I decided to go ahead and self-publish through Westbow Press. They're a Christian independent publisher, and they're connected to Thomas Nelson, which is a very well-established Christian publisher.
Okay.
And with self-publishing, you have the option of being as hands-on or as hands-off with the process as mm-hmm. you want to be. You can hire people at the publishing company. You know, you have a publishing package that you purchase, and you can add different services. So you can hire them to do your editing, your proofreading, your design, your layout. And I opted to do my own editing, my own proofreading. And I brought you guys in, actually, to help with the cover design and website design and general visual elements mm-hmm. of the project.
And yeah, all the excellent photography, too.
I know.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I know that guy. He's a pretty good guy.
One of the best in the business, I think.
He's very modest, too. That's great. So it's been a good experience. Did you know right away you wanted to go with that publisher, or did you sort of look at like Amazon and Lulu and like all those other places, or you wanted a specific?
I definitely did my research beforehand. I looked at options like Cafe Press and other self-publishing companies. But what really appealed to me about Wespo Press was that they have that connection to an established publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And if your book does well as a self-published book, they may offer you a traditional publishing contract if that might be a better way to market and distribute your book.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's very nice to have that, you know, that legitimacy behind your publication.
That's great. That's very cool.
Hmm.
So where can we find it? Like, I know it's on Amazon because I saw that link the other day. And I was like, oh, and I went to the little browser thing and I was like looking at all the pages and stuff inside.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So where else can they obtain?
Well, at this point, it's mostly available online.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it on the Wespo Press bookstore. So just go look up Wespo Press, go to their bookstore, and then look up Prayers for Opa. It's also on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Nice.
I'm working on getting it into some local bookstores.
Cool.
Here in the Nashua, New Hampshire area. And if you're very local, I also have some copies at home that I've purchased. And, you know, to be able to sell at different events and things like that.
Autographed copy.
Yeah. So you can always contact me through my website as well. And we can make arrangements to get a copy to you.
Good.
That's excellent. Good.
And she'll show you her cool boots that she has.
Oh, yes. 6 pounds a foot.
Yes.
She's got like Wookiee feet. They're just amazing. They're, you know, they're like Thundar the Barbarian shoes, but you can like, it's just, they're amazing. I love them. I think they're fantastic. They look like woolly pirate boots.
They get you through the winter.
But you can change them because it's like she's got Thundar boots on now, but then she can pull them up and turn them into like pirate boots.
You're going to have to take a picture of them.
We might have to put a little cell phone picture of her boots up there.
They're perfect for trying to dig out your car in the middle of the winter here.
Yep.
It's like I have never, ever gotten snow in my boots.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
They're like Spaniard boots.
Quite a feat
boots.
Here.
Yeah.
Three Musketeer boots. They're fantastic. All right. So sorry, I didn't mean to digress.
Oh, not at all.
So, okay.
Boots
so,
are fantastic.
So now when you, like when I think, like Asian or Japanese pop culture, I grew up a big fan of what is now known as anime, but back then it was just Japanese animation. And I grew up with two shows that I used to watch when I was really little, and one of them was called Force 5, and that was a weekly, it was Monday through Friday, and they would take various robot, like 1980s robot cartoons, and they would group them all together. So on Mondays, like, you would see the Star Avengers, which was Getter Robo, and then you would see like Grandizer, and you'd see Dan Gardes, and it was just amazing. And then the second half of that was Space Cruiser Yamato, which came over to the United States as Star Blazers, which I am to this day have a secret love to the, just always. And I'm so glad that it's like been, it's interesting that it's getting a little more popular now.
Yep.
But so what sort of stuff are you, do you find the most fascinating in that realm? Goodness. Like, so what got you
into it?
Yeah, how did you get into
the,
this
East Asian
pop culture,
and what does it include?
Okay, well, let's see. I would say it started when I was in first grade, and my first grade teacher was hosting a Japanese exchange student. So she would incorporate Japanese language and food and customs into our lesson plans. So growing up, I always had this interest in Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, started watching martial arts movies, things like that. And things really kind of kicked into gear when I got to college. I was the only person on my floor who had a TV and a VCR.
Oh.
And it was a compact unit that you could carry around pretty easily.
Nice.
This was back in 2000. You know, it's not that long ago, but technologically it really feels like it.
Yeah.
But I had a couple of friends who were in the anime club, and they didn't have anything to watch their fan sub tapes on.
Nice.
Terrible.
Yeah. So they would borrow my TV VCR, and they'd come back and return it at like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd try to be very quiet and not wake me up. But, you know, they're walking into things. They're dropping things. And it was like, okay, you know something? I'm just going to watch with you guys, and then I can put the TV away without you, you know, having to go through that. And the first series I saw with them was Shoujo Kakume Utena, Revolutionary Girl Utena.
I've never seen that.
I have a soundtrack for that.
Oh, it's an amazing series. Most people, you know, most women my age usually get into anime because of Sailor Moon.
Yep.
But this was my first series, mm-hmm. and it was just so different from anything I had seen before.
Ever just, or in anime?
That was the first anime I had seen.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then from there, it progressed to pop music because, mm-hmm. you know, they use a lot of pop music in anime soundtracks.
Yep.
Yeah. Those dang earworms. Ending credit songs do it for me.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, was Utena, though, there's something, is it called Clamp?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Now, isn't that like female theme, like the strong female romance themes? Is that what Clamp, like?
They were like a manga
was
group? Or
was that? Oh, it was okay.
A female artist collective who did, I believe they're still working together, and they do, my goodness.
Is it like fantasy romance?
Yeah.
It seems very like,
it really
structured in like the real like heavy romance kind of.
Well, it depends on which member of the collective is the lead on the project.
Okay, all right.
Like one of the series, I believe that they did that I liked. That's more recent is Holic, and that's more kind of supernatural type ghost story sort of anime.
Okay,
not quite as much of a romantic focus that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
My information for anime, like my, it stops at some point because I got out of it for a long time. Like I got out of it, like it was kind of neat because I got into it, like I was growing up, I had Star Blazers and stuff and we had Robotech. And then I really started getting heavily into it when I bought a dub. I went to a comic book convention and they had a really, like they had a ninth generation English dubbed copy of Akira. And it was before, it was right after it came out in Japanese.
Uh-huh.
And I had never, like Star Blazers and stuff was great, but I had never seen this level of like violence in an anime before. And here's this like telekinetic kid just blowing people up with his mind and everything like that.
Oh my gosh.
And that was, it was kind of neat to watch because that's sort of what started this wave of anime in the States. And Suncoast would slowly get releases in, and back then they were only bringing in OAVs, like movies, and they weren't bringing any of the series in because people weren't they didn't know if they wanted to invest heavily into this stuff. So I used to go to there, and then we had a place right over here in Amherst that used to actually rent Japanese laser discs. And so we got a Laserdisc player and we would go, it was that in Jackie Chan movies. Like we got into Jackie Chan movies.
Hardcore,
so like 90, yeah, I was totally nerded out about this. The only thing about the Laserdiscs is that nothing was subtitled. And so like I'd be watching, I'd rent Outlanders and try to make a copy of it. And I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, you'd have to go in the net and download like a fan script. And
right.
You'd just sort of try to follow along with, I think this is where they are now.
Right.
Man.
So then I sort of got out of it because all the stuff they were releasing at Suncoast was just kind of not good. And I got out of it for a long time, and then it wasn't until somebody told me I needed to be watching Cowboy Bebop, because I was just like, like, there's nothing, you know, like, nothing's good anymore. And this guy was like, seriously, like, and he sent me a tape of the first five episodes, and by that fifth episode, like, I was singing the praises of this anime. But the problem is that now, from that point on until now, I can't find anything that's as good as Bebop. So I'm stuck in this same thing.
That,
like, it was Akira,
and
there was an empty, and then it was Bebop, and now there's this big empty thing. And I've been pulling some stuff in, and some of it's pretty good.
There's so much available now.
And that's the thing. It's so saturated now. And it actually seems like they're pulling back a little bit. Like, it's not as rampant as it had been, like, over the last maybe decade.
I don't know. It's
like you go into a Best Buy now, and they've severely cut their section back.
Well, Best Buy is in trouble.
They're on the way out. Yeah.
So I think maybe the internet is just the alternative.
Yeah,
source
it's all
now.
Over
There's
the
like
place.
Tons of stuff that's
absolutely.
That's out there.
Yeah. At the same time, I bought Akira. I think it had to have been a fan sub thing, but it was college kids took Dirty Pair episodes and they wrote their own script. And it was the most hilarious thing. And I wish I could find that tape. I had it for so long. It was called Fun with Dirty Pair.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was like, I mean, I was in ninth grade when I saw this.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what this fan sub stuff was. And then it was like, you know, 10 years later, all of a sudden, all these people were doing just like fan dubs and everything. But it was great. And they had terrible scripts. And it was just like, it was amazing. But that was, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to digress. Like, I could talk about anime for like, we could just do a whole separate show.
We should do a whole separate show.
We should just do one after this.
Would you like to come back for that one,
too? Absolutely.
So, all right. So I didn't mean to digress. So tell me, So all right. So you mentioned K-pop and J-pop. Like, what are your favorite performers, I guess?
Ah, that is an excellent question.
Couldn't have written it better yourself.
Well, with me, I tend to like performers more on a song-by-song basis.
Okay.
But I always have one group that I'm very interested in. And with J-pop, that would be Hello Project, especially Morning Musume and Barry's Kobo.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the costumes and the personalities. And, you know, they're always coming out with different songs and different visual concepts. It's just a lot of fun. And then for K-pop, the group I'm most interested in these days is UKISS. They actually have members who speak English. They have members who are Christian. And all of them are vocally solid. They're just fabulous to listen to.
We'll have to get some links to that.
Yeah. We'll link everything up so we can give you some exposure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
That was a fast 30 minutes. Holy moly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tell us
about 2 minutes ago.
All right, so we need tell us how we can find you and discover you. Like, just throw out like your website and where we can find the book. And
well, you can find me at www.teresasantosky.com, and if you click on the devotional link, that takes you to the Prayers for Opa page, and you have information there on how to order the book online. You can also follow me on Twitter at Teresa Santosky or at Prayers for Opa. And the book is available online at wespopress.com, through Amazon, and through barnesandnoble.com.
That's fantastic.
Excellent.
What a fantastic delivery she just did.
Well, she used to work in radio.
Exactly.
Right?
We just found out she used to do in radio, so that's awesome.
What did they used to call you back then?
The show title was arguably the sexiest voice in radio history.
I would concur.
Throw out the you did that radio throw out that you just did before we started recording.
Oh. The time is now 12:30, and you are listening to arguably the sexiest voice in radio history on WZLY 91.5 FM.
Hot. So hot. So hot.
You need to have guests more often.
Radio voices are just awesome. I used to listen to, there was some NPR show that had Faith Saley on it. It was like a comedian thing. And it was just hot. Like, she was just, it was great. It was great. Well, excellent. All right, well, we're going to wrap up. This is the podcast. I'm photographer Sid Caesar.
Designer Dave Say and guest
Teresa Santosky. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we'll see you guys later. Music by Michael Bellar and the As Is Ensemble. Visit him at michaelbellar.com. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Have a good week.
Later.
Bye.